If we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we thank you for Easter Sunday. We thank you that you conquered death. You've risen from the dead. Death, where is your sting? Lord, we rejoice in that. Thank you so much, Lord, for the work you're doing around the world. Lord, we just pray again that your name is being proclaimed throughout the world. We thank you, God, for our brothers and sisters that do not have the privilege we have today to do this openly and publicly, and yet in their heart, they're not holding back. God, we pray that your grace would abound towards them. And Lord, we pray for our own nation as well. God, that you would stir the hearts of your church right now, God, that we would really truly become what you want us to be. We ask, God, your blessing now on this study in Jesus' name. Amen. As you're standing, we'd ask you to open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you, worship team. Great blessing just to be together. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is our text for this morning. We want you to look at verse 17 through 21. The message title this morning is Real Love. You know, in the day in which we live, there's so much artificial things happening. As a matter of fact, you've heard the phrase fake news. And you begin to wonder, you know what? I'm just being taken by a lot of things. Fake news. Well, I want you to know this morning, we got good news. Okay, it is the gospel truth today, the good news of Jesus Christ for us. It's about real love. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. I came across an illustration this week. I was not familiar with it. Some of you may be. There's two poets and playwright, Elizabeth Barrett. Her husband then was Robert Browning. Elizabeth Barrett, it is stated, was growing up as a semi-invalid, and unfortunately, her father acted in a very hard and harsh way towards her. Robert Browning, who became her husband, as they were preparing for marriage, her father wanted nothing to do with Robert Browning. So they got married secretly, and they sailed to Italy, and they lived there the rest of their lives. These are two renowned poets and playwright in the Victorian era in the 1800s. Now, Elizabeth Barrett had love for her parents, and she never gave up on the relationship. Almost weekly, she would write letters to them. Not once did they reply. After 10 years, she receives in the mail a box, a large box. And inside, Elizabeth found all of the letters that she had written over the 10 years, and not one of them were opened. Today, those letters are amongst the most beautiful and classical English literature. Had her parents only read a few of them, their relationship with Elizabeth might have been restored. God is a God of reconciliation. God sees the turmoil and the torment on earth, and God says, "I'm sending you a letter. I've written a letter. It's called the Bible. We're living in strange days where people don't think much about this. I went online and Amazon still proclaims this, not that they're the theology I look at, as still the number one published book in the world. It always has been. The first book that ever was printed on the printing press was the Bible. The Bible is the truth. It's God's letter for us. And perhaps we too might open this letter more often and learn about his love for us. Today in this Easter message, I've entitled Real Love. And I've taken the liberty of using the word real to present a message. Every letter means something. The letter R means a reconciling love. The letter E is an eternal love. The letter A is an abiding love. And the last letter in the word real, L, is a living love. And what I've done is I've looked at what took place the last week of Jesus' time on earth. It's called the Passion Week or the Holy Week. And I looked at people during that week and then after his resurrection, four individuals. And I brought the lives of these four individuals into this message called Real Love. Real love happens to us when there's real brokenness. If we do not experience real brokenness, I'm not certain we'll experience real love. Stay with me as I explain. The reconciling love that I'm speaking about comes on the day of the crucifixion. This reconciling love has to do with a broken heart. Remember, real love is the fruit of real brokenness. We're going to see brokenness in each of these four examples. Reconciling love, a broken heart. The broken-hearted person was known as the thief on the cross next to Jesus Christ. That day, there were three crosses on a hill. There were two destinies that were determined, and there was one Redeemer. Above his cross, it identified who Christ was and why he was here. The criminals on each side saw Jesus Christ. They heard Jesus Christ. There were seven statements from the cross before he died. Each of these criminals heard from his lips the heart of Christ say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'm saying this is reconciling love. And this reconciling love comes from brokenness. No one was more broken than Jesus Christ, who before prayed, "God, Father, if this cup can pass, not my will, but thy will be done." Drops of blood coming from him. It's never too late to turn to Jesus. I said it's never too late to turn to Jesus. And there's no sin that you've ever committed, no sin that I've ever committed, no sin that you will commit in the future that the blood of Christ is not able to cleanse and forgive. This is reconciling love. One of the other criminals looking to Christ at this very last moment, moments away from an eternal death, is rescued by the love of heaven. And he calls out and he says to the other criminal, "This man's done nothing wrong." And that criminal says to Christ, "If you are the Christ, come down from the cross." Save yourself and save us. We're not looking for a Savior to take us down. We're looking for a Savior to lift us up. Amen. We're heaven bound. We are heaven bound. And the other criminal, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's reconciling love. I never knew about this kind of love. As I've stated many times, it was when I was 25 years old that I recognized I'm S-I-N positive. I've got a bad case of it, a real bad case of it. And I only related to God prior to that based on my performance, my ability to impress God or impress others. Later, I'd find out in Titus chapter 3, it says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which I've done, but according to his mercy, he saved me through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. If you've never experienced this reconciling love from God, a love that takes away all your sins, then today's the day that you'd say, God, I want to be reconciled to you. What does it mean to be reconciled? It means to be in a right relationship with God. We come into this world born with a wrong relationship with God. And what Christ did on the cross, he corrects it. He makes us born right instead of wrong. The word is born again, born anew, born from above. God desires us to have a relationship with him today and for all eternity. But in his great love, any reconciling love, it means that every person has a choice to make. If your choice is taken away, if your freedom's taken away, it's not reconciling love, it's manipulation. God doesn't manipulate any of us. He just said, look, I created you, I designed you, you are made in the image of God. Sin has ruined that relationship. I love you so much, I'm leaving heaven to come to earth to make right the wrongs. I'm going to take all your sins on myself. I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to conquer death. I'm going to rise again from the dead. In a physical form, I'm going to present myself alive from the dead, conquering death. I'm going to return to heaven. I'm going to have a relationship with you right now because I'm at the throne of God and you come to me at any time. Some of us can't imagine really what took place. When he died on the cross and he shouted out, it is finished. That meant that the curtain in the temple where the high priest was at, and again, this might be new for some of us, people could only, in a sense, have a limited way of helping their relationship by a yearly offering. And this high priest was behind the curtain. People couldn't go there. And once a year, he'd offer a sacrifice to God for the sins of the people. And they all brought their sacrificial lambs there. But Jesus says, I am the sacrificial lamb. I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when he died on that cross, that curtain was torn in two. Priest, high priest, no need anymore. You're released from your job forever. There is no more a need for any person to represent you before God. We have one mediator between God and man, and that's the person Christ Jesus. And all those who had been working the farms for the lambs and bringing them, keep them. We're done. There's no more need for anyone to bring any offering to the temple, finished, over, complete, because when Christ said it is finished, that's what he meant. He is that perfect offering. Amen? Amen. That's a reconciling love. For me, I have experienced that reconciling love, but I need to continue to experience a brokenness before Him, asking for forgiveness, not for salvation because I've received salvation, but forgiveness keeps the relationship alive and allows me to hear from Him. I said that there's four things, the R for reconciling love. The E is for eternal love. So on the reconciling love, we looked at the thief on the cross. We talked about a broken heart. On the E, eternal love, it's a broken promise. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm unique in this room, but I have failed God many times, more times than I like to tell you. There's things that I felt purposefully to do for God, and I just didn't follow through. I became selfish and just concerned about me. And I'm wondering, God, I have this reconciling love with You. I know that I'm saved, but Lord, I fall so short of My love for You. And He says, it's not about Your love for me, it's about My love for you. My love for you is an eternal love. What's the example? The example, again, on the Holy Week, the Passion Week, the example comes from Peter. Peter was one of the closest disciples to Jesus, one who would lead the ministry, and Christ knew that. James later would say, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Peter was so convinced. Jesus, he would say, these other disciples of yours, these other followers of yours, they're going to let you down, but I will never deny you. Even if it means to die for you, I'll die for you. I have no doubt that Peter was 100% sincere. There's no doubt. I mean, that's the kind of person you want to have on your team. But refined. He said that. Jesus said, Peter, or He used the word Simon, 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 Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that when you are reconciled, you'll be able to fulfill the purposes I have for your life. And what it must have been like, the one who said, I'll never deny you, three times. He's at the enemy's fire. He separated himself away from Christ. He denies Christ once, twice, three times. He curses. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know that man. The rooster crows. When the rooster crows, it says in the scripture, Christ bloodied and beaten before the cross. He says that He looks, and Peter looks back. Their eyes collide. The rooster crows. The question is this. What kind of eyes did Peter see? What kind of eyes did Peter see? You know, in this world, what kind of eyes people have for you when you fail royally. But I'd say they're the same eyes when Adam sinned in the garden and God says, Adam, where are you? It wasn't as though God didn't know where Adam was at. Adam needed to know that God was there. I'm going to tell you the answer. It's a biblical answer. What kind of eyes did he see? I think they're out of Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, listen, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Wait a minute, Pastor. That's a verse I need. You read it too fast. And where is it at? Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord is saying to you right now, you failed in your love towards me. I have never failed in my love towards you because it's an eternal love. It's a love that saves you. It's a love that sustains you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. after Peter failed greatly, he went out and he wept bitterly. And you have to go through and see what happens, because what happens to Peter after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Christ makes it a point to find Peter, and he finds Peter, and he restores the relationship with Peter. Then, before his resurrection or ascension into heaven, he meets Peter and others on the shore, and he affirms to Peter, "Peter, you denied me three times. I'm going to affirm my love for you three times." And then I wonder, did you get it, Peter? Like, what happened? What happened is this. Peter was able to give the first message after Pentecost about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen indeed. Over 3,000 people came to the Lord on that day of Pentecost. But Peter, really, like how did this all work? How did this affect you? So I flipped over to the epistles, the small little books. Peter, at the end of his life, he's writing. So how does this eternal love of God for you? You broke your promises. He affirmed his love for you. He was there in your failures. He still used your life to the very end. It tells us, not in the scriptures, but in some additional writings, that they were going to martyr Peter by hanging him like Christ on a cross. And you'll find in the martyrs' books that Peter requested to be, I always get this wrong, hang or hung, but it was upside down. That's how it was, because he didn't want to, he wanted to respect his Lord. But at the end of his life, listen to what he says. We're talking about eternal love, broken promises. He says in 1 Peter 4:8, "Above all these things," Peter speaking, "have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Amen? Oh, man. Park that verse on your heart. Love covers a multitude of sins. We mentioned that there's four things that we're looking at this morning. The word real, reconciling love, eternal love, abiding love, living love. We saw reconciling love, a broken heart, a thief, forgiveness and salvation. Eternal love, a broken promise. Peter, a failure, he found a love that not only saved him, but a love that sustains him. And now we look at what is known as an abiding love. An abiding love has to do with a broken vessel. A broken vessel. And we're going to illustrate it through a woman. I call this woman an outcast. I don't think of her as an outcast, but literally in the situation, a woman entering into a celebration in the culture that she was in was criticized. I put little quotations. I says, this woman was probably the first one that explained to us what it is to live cross-culturally. And when I say cross, I'm thinking about this cross. Cross-culturally. Because Christ is in the room. Again, this is the Passion Week before he goes to the cross. She knows he's going to the cross. She knows he's going to the cross. And she wants to do something. She wants to respond. She's criticized, but a woman was willing to bear the criticism because she was willing to see the fruit. Her steadfast love for Jesus. What she did is she took this vessel, and at this time, there was a vessel that she had, a vase, a vessel, and it had very costly perfume in it. And so, in a sense, this is money. This is resource. This means livelihood to her future. It wasn't something she used to spruce herself up or whatever. It was of value, economic value for a single woman, outcast. We don't have her name. She went into this room. Christ is there. She breaks open this vessel, and she pours the contents upon Jesus. And the smell, the beautiful fragrant smell, permeated the room. And those criticizing says, why did she do this? This was a waste. The resources could have been used in a more compassionate way to the poor. And Jesus says, stop right now. Stop. Stop criticizing this woman. She did something that none of you did. You say she wasted resources. Jesus says, anytime we pour our life out on Him, it's never a waste. Amen. Never a waste. She taught us it's a waste to spend your life on yourself. If your world is about you spending your life, your time, your resource on yourself, that's a waste, an absolute waste. You'll regret it for eternity. Jesus taught us, He recognizes the motive behind our service, and He richly rewards everything done in purity for His glory. Jesus would say, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Real love is the fruit of real brokenness. There was literal brokenness to pour out this fragrance. But I'll say this, and I say it confidently right now. When our lives are broken before Him, and He's occupying us, and we pour out our lives for others, as so many of you do, that's a work of love. That's an act of love. And your act of love creates a fragrance that is pleasing to everybody that's around you. When you honor God with your life, that is a fragrance. The Lord wanted to make this point. He says, this woman that you've criticized, I have embraced. Her devotion is what should be from all of my people. And He says, just to remind you, you wanted to cast her out. I've accepted her. And I want you to know this, Jesus says. This act that this woman did 2,000 years ago, He says, what this woman did is going into the Gospels. And people are going to read the Gospels. And every time they read about this woman, that fragrance from that day is going to permeate their world. We still smell the loving fragrance of that woman that poured out everything upon Jesus. What the crowd pushed away in criticism, the Lord embraced and says, you didn't want her? I did. And she has a living testimony that's talked about to this day. Well, there's just one more thing we're going to look at, and that's the living love. And it has to do with a broken will. So when we were looking again at our walk through here, a reconciling love, there was a broken heart and a thief. An eternal love, there was a broken promise by Peter, his failure, and then he was embraced with a love that not only saved him but sustained him. Abiding love, this outcast woman, broken vessel, broke her life, poured her life upon Jesus. It's a testimony for the world. And lastly, a living love. It deals with a broken will. And I know right now, Washington State and Oregon State, according to what I read, are some of the least churched of all 50 states. We live in some of the most beautiful areas in the United States, but it's the least church. People are turned off by church and by God for various reasons, and I must apologize. Many times it's the church or what's done in and out of the church that's created problems, and I'm sorry about that because I'm a pastor, and my heart breaks when we fall short. But Thomas was with Jesus all the way through to the resurrection, to the death of Jesus Christ. Thomas was there. Thomas believed Jesus. Thomas knew that this was the deliverer. Rome wants to take us over. We have this Messiah, this King. It's Jesus. And he was on board, fully in, until Christ died. And after Christ died, he says, I'm done with it. I'm done with religion. I'm done with all of this, completely done. And so when he appeared to his disciples, and we've seen it demonstrated in our skit today, and thank you so much, great, great work, junior high students and leaders, thank you for that, and for our, amen, and for our children's musical as well, great blessing. But Thomas says, I'm done. And then they said to Thomas, well, Jesus is real. He's risen from the dead. He goes, listen, I don't want any part of it at all. He's stubborn. His will's purposed that way. And Jesus says, as he shows up in front of Thomas and says, I've heard every conversation you've had. Look at what you have here. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He surrendered his will. There is a broken will. We do not set the terms of our relationship with God. We do not work for salvation. We work from salvation. Real love is the fruit of real brokenness. This last week, our country dropped a bomb. And they said it's the most powerful non-nuclear bomb that's ever been dropped. At least that's the reports. There's some images as well. But I want you to know this right now. As powerful as that is, the power of God in your life through the Holy Spirit is more powerful than that. There's no comparison. Because Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit that dwells in you. The worship team's going to come up. They're going to lead us in a final song called Glorious. What an appropriate song for Easter, right? Glorious. Now, the disciples, they were on, in Acts, it seems like a mountainside, on a hill, whatever it was, and they were with Christ. And He took off to heaven. And they were gazing at Him as He left to heaven, thinking, what now? And the angel said, that which you see, Jesus Christ leaving to heaven, He's going to come back in a like manner. And I want you to know that it's closer than it's ever been for His return. Amen? It just is. We believe the return of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. I mean, Christ is coming back. Amen? And so what we want to do is be in a right relationship with Him, reconciling love with Him, continue to have that kind of relationship with Him. Remember His love. It's an eternal love. You can't outlove God. He initiated it. We love Him because He first loved us. Embrace that kind of love and abide with Christ. We cannot bear fruit unless we're abiding with Christ. And lastly, a living love. Come on, brothers and sisters, let's live hard for the Lord. Let's run with grace the race that is set before us to the glory of God. These are the best days. Amen.